Since you're listening to this podcast, it's quite obvious that you have great taste in movies and television shows. But did you ever wish that your clothes can reflect that? Well, our friends at Super Yaki have great taste as well, and they make lovely merchandise to show it off to the world. They currently have a great Halloween collection, including a specific Scream collection that I'm very excited about to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the amazing slasher flick that is Scream. And you can get a based on the book Woodsboro Murders by Gail Weathers hat while you're at it, or possibly a David Arquette or Courtney Cox name shirt. The sky's the limit with Super Yaki, and they even have a Final Girls collection that also will get you in the Halloween spirit. Whatever you fancy, you can get 10% off your next order with the exclusive code CANTINAFRIENDS. That's CANTINAFRIENDS in all caps. Thank you so much to Super Yaki for their constant support of our podcast.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Revenge is not the Jedi way.
I am no Jedi.
You stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
Hello and welcome to Heroes of the Galaxy, and more specifically, our Heroes Cantina. I'm your host, Alani.
I'm Kelsey.
And here we relax and we have a drink, and typically we catch up about Star Wars news, but today we are going to talk about WandaVision. And before we get into that, Kelsey, are you drinking anything crazy?
I feel like I'm just drinking the same thing every time, which is water in my Baby Yoda / Grogu water bottle.
It's okay. We love a theme. And it's the Star Wars through line that we need in this episode.
Exactly. This is what makes this episode relevant, is this yes. Water bottle.
Yes, because I also only have water. Sober queens for today. But anyway. In our last episode, we mentioned that we were going to talk about WandaVision at some point. And there have been some Star Wars news, and there are a lot of Star Wars topics we could have touched on. But with the 73rd annual Primetime Emmy Awards that just happened, we're going to touch on a show that we loved deeply. And also, there was this tweet that I found back in August that I bookmarked from Brandon Davis. He has a very popular Twitter account that many of you probably follow. He tweeted, "WandaVision was the most fun fandom event of the year." And I could not agree with it more, and I don't think anything has made us feel like that since.
In a long time. Even before that. Like, I don't think anything has made the internet and fandoms across, you know, across franchises feel that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't want to, and I don't know if it's because we went a full year without Marvel, and I don't want to say that we need Marvel every freaking year, because I think I tweeted out sometime in 2020 that I'm glad that we didn't have Marvel, because I consumed a lot of really interesting stuff, and I'm sure you did too, and I'm sure a lot of people did, and probably didn't even notice that we didn't have Marvel until people started bringing it up at the end of 2020.
I think after, like, such a heavy release schedule and, like, such, like, heavy themes. Like, Infinity War Endgame, like, was exhausting. Like, don't get me wrong, love that, but, like, exhausting emotionally. Like, yes. The build-up, like, I think, obviously, 2020 was awful, but I think it was a little bit of a breath of fresh air just to, like, relax, not have to worry about, like, catching every single Marvel cinematic film. It was just nice to just be for a year, I would say.
Yes. I agree. While that was nice, I don't know if that was why everyone was so voracious, but also I think it was also, like, voracious as in, like, eating up WandaVision, but mm-hmm. I also think that it was also WandaVision was just so unique and so new and so fresh and so fun and just so different from anything that Marvel's ever done, but also anything that TV has ever done, and mm-hmm. I just think that it just captured viewers in a way that was sorely needed, but then also was just so fun. And so everyone just couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah, and it was just really, really wonderful to actually get character development for these characters. Like, Wanda hasn't, like, I mean, a little bit in Age of Ultron.
Yes, yes. The one that so she was films. Introduced in.
Yeah. Where it just feels like we haven't, like, we know about her, but we didn't really know, like, the extent of, like, what she went through. And we're, like, obviously she talked about it briefly when she was, you know, speaking with Tony, but it was amazing to actually get, like, backstory into, like, her childhood and you know, things that affected her and the ripple effect into her adult life. So that aspect was amazing. And then I just really think nothing, like, it has ever been done on TV before, both, like, in, you know, comic, sci-fi genre and just, like, regular drama. Like, there was a reason why it was nominated for a million Emmys, because it did stuff that has never been done before, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. It did not win any Emmys, but it did win three that were announced before the show. One of them being Agatha All Along, which is a banger and a bop all on itself.
We would put it in here if we had copyright.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it speaks to what the show did and has done, obviously, for both Marvel and for TV, that it was, like, nominated for that many awards and it was actually seen by... is it, like, the television? Yeah, Television Academy as being, I hate saying this, as being, like, worthy of those awards, because obviously, you know, Television Academy has its own issues in regards to how it gives out awards and nominates shows and things. But it was just nice, I think, to have WandaVision celebrated and, like, seen in that, like, prestigious way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I, like, recently wrote an article, I think it was yesterday, about how many or if superhero shows have been nominated in the past, and last year Watchmen was, and Watchmen won 10 of the awards that it was nominated for. Wow. And it definitely, I think, kind of opened the doors for WandaVision to get 23 nominations this year. And then previously before Watchmen, there were a couple, like, sparse nominations here and there, but genre TV in general typically is not noticed. That includes, like, horror and, like, I don't know, anything like musicals. But then you have something from, like, Ryan Murphy, like American Horror Story, which is nominated all the goddamn time. But then you have something like, you know, Haunting of Bly Manor, Haunting of Hill House as well, which, you know, arguably are better than American Horror Story, that are not nominated. Or Glee was nominated.
It's very interesting how...
Yeah, it's definitely, like, who... there's a lot of politics, I think, that go behind it as well. I'm not going to say that American Horror Story is not good and should not have been nominated, because Jessica Lange definitely deserved her flowers. But
the,
like,
people associated with it, like, the names associated with it.
Yeah.
The push behind... I mean, not saying Netflix doesn't have the push, but... Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely... There's a lot involved, but especially when it came to, like, superhero shows, Watchmen definitely opened the door more for it, and then, like, WandaVision was able to, like, walk through because it was so good.
Yeah, and even, like, The Boys, too. I don't know if you've seen The Boys, which I love.
I need to watch it.
I could do a whole other episode on The Boys. Like, that's, I would say that's even farther out than, like, Marvel, because it's just so, like, raunchy and so, like...
Oh, my gosh.
That's a show. We'll just say that. But yeah, sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. But it's just, like, genre shows just are not seen. But then you have something like Emily in Paris that gets nominated, and it's like, where the hell did that come from? Who knows? But then again, it's comedy, so it's like, but then again, there's also, like, there is still a caliber for comedy. I'm not saying, like, comedy is, like, whatever. Because this was not nominated comedy. It was limited series. But... So, I don't know, it's just, like, it's kind of all over the place. It's kind of a draw sometimes, and you see something get nominated, and you're like, what the hell? But, exactly. But yeah, it was nice to see that it was recognized, that Elizabeth Olsen was recognized, because, she's fantastic, and her portrayal of Wanda this season was just, like, insanely good. So good.
I was actually so sad that she didn't win. Like, even, like, just... outside of, like, obviously being, like, a Marvel fan, I was just, like, she deserved it.
She deserved
like,
it.
And I watched Mare of Easttown, like, I love Kate Winslet, but I just think, there was something, she brought so many different layers to that performance. She required so much of her, like, in regards to, like, she had to be, like, funny at certain times. Like, it was just, she just brought so much, which, like, yes, Kate Winslet did as well. This is a, I'm not going to pit women against each other, don't get me wrong. Two very, very different shows. Mare of Easttown, there have, like, it's a, I don't want to say it's a show that's been done before, but, like, there are themes in that show that we've seen before, whereas, like, WandaVision was, like, an entirely different, you know, concept of a show, in my opinion.
But yeah, I feel like...
We love you, Lizzie.
Obviously, if Lizzie didn't win, or couldn't win, for whatever reason, I was annoyed that Kate Winslet won. I'm gonna say it. I'm just annoyed, because it's just, like, if Elizabeth Olsen didn't win, it's, like, you know... Michaela Cole's right there.
Exactly.
You know, who else was nominated? That, like, my pick was Michaela Cole if Elizabeth Olsen couldn't win or didn't win. I don't know. Kate Winslet is a very accomplished and good actress. And what I, you know, I'm not saying she doesn't deserve it. I just wish someone else had won it more.
Yeah. This is coming from somebody that really enjoyed Mare of Easttown, so.
Yeah. I just know that Michaela Cole... also was another actress who did something that had never been done before. Like,
exactly.
We don't see portrayal of sexual assault like we did in...
I remember watching, again, this is very off topic, I remember watching that first episode and, like full body chills. I was like, I have just watched something that, like, I have never seen portrayed on TV before, much like WandaVision. Obviously, mm-hmm. Two very, very different.
Very different, but yeah. It's just so honest and raw, and she was right there. Right there.
I have deserved it. Rewatching her speech over and over. Like, I saved it to my phone. Like, I literally, honestly, might need to print it out and, like, hung in a frame to have on my wall.
53 seconds. Short and sweet.
The other two white men from Queen's Gambit. I'm like, shut up. Wrap it up.
Who the fuck watched Queen's Gambit and loved it that much? I would like to know.
And I really like Anya Taylor-Joy. Like, when I interviewed her, she was, like, honestly such a doll. But, like, she wouldn't have even talked to them. She played her.
Did she even talk all night? I don't think so. And she was a star.
No.
I'm just annoyed at those men. Oh, my God. He was like that annoying guy at a party who thinks he's funny. And he's not. Fedora. Right? Like, someone who's really funny tells a joke. And then the guy who thinks he's funny copies a joke.
Yeah, and he has to be like, ha ha ha, that was so funny. Ha. And if nobody laughs, he's like, you guys are all stupid, you don't get my humor.
Right.
When he was telling them, like, to not wrap up the music, I was like, bro, literally, you need to wrap it up. Next time, I think they should make sure, actually screen people's little pieces of paper that they bring up.
Just cut the mic. Have we not learned anything from Zoom? You can mute
literally
people.
Just turn off the camera, like, switch to a different angle, have Cedric the Entertainer start talking on a different stage.
They had no problem doing that with Cedric the Entertainer at the end of the show. They muted him with the music. Like, just mute the dude. Go to commercial. Okay. So.
Back on topic.
Going back to topic.
We're going to have awards for you, and you're going to win all of them, Queen Lizzie.
So, one of the first things we want to talk about this show, our initial thoughts going into it, kind of like the mindset that we had before watching it. So, Kelsey, can you remember kind of
Absolutely. What
your thoughts were before you went and watched the very first episode for the very first time?
Okay, so I'm going to mention my friend Alex, who I know will be listening to this. Hello, Alex. you're going to say I told you so after I finished saying what I'm about to say. I had absolutely no interest in this show whatsoever. No interest whatsoever. I'm like, I hate, now I'm blanking on the word. I hate multiverses. I think it's a cop-out. Like, that was, like, my whole thing. I was like, why does everybody need to rely on multiverses to tell stories? Like, why can't we just live in this, like, universe? I was just not happy, not interested whatsoever. And then the whole, like, jumping through the ages and, like, living in different, like, you know, time periods. I was like, this sounds dumb, and sitcoms are dumb. Anyways, I'm a fucking idiot. We'll just say that. I'm a fucking idiot. I ate those words. Alex was very, like, he was like, I told you so. Like, this show's incredible. And he was right. He was correct. I watched it with everybody else. And, like, the first the first episode when it was that black and white episode, and it went to those moments where it was like very eerie. I don't know if you like know what I'm talking about. And I was like, ooh, don't know if I'm enjoying, like I was enjoying it, but I'm like, ooh, it's making me feel uncomfortable. Like, what's going on here? I don't love this. So yeah, I wouldn't say like I had like expectations, because I genuinely was like, I don't like this. This is gonna be stupid. And then yeah, well, Lizzie slapped me across the face and said, "Yeah, okay, bitch. I'll show you. In 6 months from now, you're gonna be crying that I didn't win an Emmy for my role." And she was right.
She slapped you across the face and said, "Sit down, shut up, and watch the show."
Yep.
How long did it take you to like actually get into it and like turn your attitude
around? Oh, I was pretty into it. Probably within like after those like the first two episodes, I was like, okay, like I get where this is going. I get where this is headed. Like even with like the season finale of like Mandalorian and like Falcon Winter Soldier, like those were, I watched those at like, you know, like late at night. Like I, you know, like watched them with my mom and things like that. Whereas this, I was like 8 a.m. I'm like, we're going to watch WandaVision season finale. Like, I need to know what happens, and I need to know what happens now. And I was out there crying at, you know, 7 a.m. in the morning. So that just shows you how into it I was.
Yes. Oh my gosh, love it. Oh, okay, so for me, I was not as opposed.
I know, I was like, so I sound like really, really against it.
Ugh, what is this? I guess I'll watch it because I have to.
Yeah, like I think, and like the whole like, it was getting used to, like, Marvel and, like, TV, which, like, obviously now I love. I think it's, like, the greatest way to, I mean, not the greatest way to watch Marvel, but, like, such a cool way to, like, flesh out characters that haven't been seen before.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, now I'm, you know, I've learned my lesson. Just shut up, basically. Don't give any opinions until you watch it.
Yeah, I was, like, definitely more indifferent than I was, like, gung-ho. Like, I definitely wasn't, that's like, I'm word. Very excited, like, da-da-da-da, like.
That's a much better word.
Yeah, I was, like, very indifferent, just because, like, I feel like a lot of people was not attached to either of the characters. I was, like, you know, I ended up looking it up later. I think Wanda and Vision total had, like, 20 minutes of screen time.
Oh, that's crazy.
Between the time that she was introduced, well, they were both introduced in Age of Ultron, and then through Endgame, a total of 20 minutes of screen time. And, like, of course, I'm not blind, you know, like, you know, her fight with Thanos in, like, Avengers Endgame, like, is iconic and whatever. So, I was definitely interested, but I also, like, didn't understand the concept. And I thought, like, the name WandaVision was, I did think that was stupid. I was like, what? Like, are we going with, like, a Cartoon Network type thing? I don't know, it just seemed, like, weird. But I was definitely indifferent, but I was intrigued. It was the first Marvel Disney Plus series to come out, and I needed a new show to watch. So I was like, okay, here we go.
It honestly came at such a perfect time. I think it was, yeah, like, that part in the pandemic, like, where we were, like, yeah, like, vaccines are, like, starting to come, but, like, it's still kind of scary. Like, I don't know, it's just, yeah, really comforting.
Yeah, yeah. I was not... What's so interesting, and I've talked about this, I think on, like, my Instagram story or something, but it was just, like, their love story, like, when you look, like, Wanda and Vision, when you look at it after watching the show, I know the question was about before, but it's, like, when you look at it after, it's, like, oh, yeah, they were in love, duh. But it's, like, when I remember what I thought about their relationship before I watched WandaVision, I had no thoughts about it. Do you know what,
yeah,
I mean? Like,
it was,
I was
like,
just
kind of like sweet, where it kind of seemed like they were kind of like taking care of each other, just because they were both kind of like misfits,
yeah,
within a greater group type of thing. Like obviously there was like a connection there and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's like night and day after watching the show.
Then you watch WandaVision, and obviously nothing has changed with their performances from 2016 and whenever Civil War came out, I think maybe 2017 or whatever, but it's, like, the Pepper Cash scene or whatever, and, like, you know, when Hawkeye's breaking her out and she has to throw Vision through 20 floors or something, like, there's a lot of emotion there, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, of course, then the it's so heartbreaking, and then when she has to kill him in Infinity War, but it's, like, I didn't have any of that emotion when I watched it back in 2017.
You watch it now, and you're just, like...
Yeah.
for listeners, I'm making a dumb stroke. Like, yeah. Oh my fucking god! Like, how, like, especially when she's taking that stone out. Like, it's like,
yeah. And now I'm like, did I not have a heart before I watched WandaVision? It's like, did WandaVision give me a heart? Did it give me? Did I not have feelings before?
That actually should be the episode title.
I think it'll be the episode title. WandaVision gave us feelings, a heart. Because I look back and I'm like, how the fuck did I not have emotions?
I think because there was so much going on in Marvel, and that's why I think this show is so important in regards to, like, fleshing out characters, is because there's so much going on between, you know, the dynamics between, like, Tony and Steve, and, mm-hmm. like, you're always, like, you know, there's always cutting to different scenes, like, that was kind of, like, with, like, Endgame, like, there's just so much going on where you hardly saw anybody for long periods of time, but besides Tony and Steve, whereas, like, with WandaVision, it was, like, you know, them living, like, a domesticated life together, you know, in the MCU.
Yeah.
That's what I would kind of say. Like, I don't think we don't have feelings. I just think we weren't able to experience their love for, like, long periods of time like we were with the show.
I think that is the best explanation. I definitely have a one-track mind when it comes to, like, certain characters. When I'm just like, I'm like, I like you, I'm obsessed with you, so I will not, you know, I can only, because there's, like, 2,000 people on their team, you know, it's very hard
exactly.
to.
Exactly, like, even, like, when, like, this is going off topic, but, like, when Natasha died, I was like, oh, this is sad, but then it's like, okay, well, we're back, like, now we're back over to the team, like, you just, there wasn't, like, a proper time to, like,
I agree. It's like, damn, oh man, she died. Okay, what's next? Did you get the stone? Yeah. Let's go. Go. We've got go time. Who else is going to die? I'm worried about Mantoni, and then look what happened, you know?
Exactly.
So, completely agree. I was going to say also that, like, that's what WandaVision does so well, too, is, like, not only is it is kind of reintroducing these characters, and it could have gone badly or just, like, not gone as well, I think.
It could have come off really cheesy, I think.
Yeah, and, like, just not creating that emotional bond with the audience. It could have, if it didn't do that, it would not have worked. But I think what worked so well is that, like, the writing and the acting just created that for the audience.
There was, like, I think there was, like, a, I mean, obviously, like, this is, like, easy to say, but I think when you really, really think about it, like, there was such a connection between the writing and, like, especially, like, Lizzie's portrayal of Wanda.
Yes.
Like, if it was written in the script that, you know, there's, like, a little bit of a glitch in the system, like, Lizzie would, like, act the fuck out of that. Like, she would, like, you would just see by, like, her mannerisms, like, honestly, literally could bow down to her. Just, so I think, like, just getting those, like, glimpses of her, like, breaking down, I think even, I don't know, it honestly feels like a parasocial relationship, because you're, like, experiencing her going through, like, this loss while also, like, trying to, like, keep up appearances at the same time. It's a mix of that.
Yeah, yeah. Which definitely makes more sense, too, when you find out that you're mm-hmm. just inside of her head. So, mm-hmm. parasocial way, I guess.
Not literally. She's having her own parasocial relationship with somebody that's not even there.
Oh, honestly, God. The dream. No, just kidding. But, okay. Moving on to, so now we're going to talk about the use and execution of the different eras that they have. So, we've got the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and then the 2010s. Yes.
I think it's interesting to think about, like, we didn't really realize why she was doing that until, like, Agatha showed her why she was doing that. You know what I mean? Like, she was like, you watched this as a kid. Like, you watched, like, reruns and things like that. And, like, that's what she was, like, reverting to, kind of, like, her childhood, like, things that brought her, like, comfort.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, when I first watched it, I'm like, oh, I don't really understand the whole, like, eras thing, but I'm rolling with it. I get it. It's cool.
Yeah, I don't know if moving is the right word, because I don't know if it was moving per se, but it was kind of like, when it all clicked together, like when she did have that one episode where you saw, you know, her with her family watching all of these shows and episodes that correlated to the themes and episode that we already watched. And it's kind of like she's inputting her and Vision and her family into these episodes that she's watched before and has so much comfort with. So it's kind of like she's not only acting and reliving these episodes like broader comfort, but it's also just like now she's putting her and her family in it. So it's like it's an extra level of like hyper fixation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's like I
can't remember how I was feeling like when I was first watching it. I must have just been like intrigued as to why the eras like was such a big deal. Like what it meant to like the greater plot overall. So obviously looking back, like now it's pretty obvious that like these things mean a lot to her, but yeah, love this show.
It's so good. I don't know if I can't remember what my initial thoughts were as to why she was doing it.
I think for us it was just like, oh, like Vision's dead, so like why is this a thing? Like that was like my mentality. I was like, oh, is this like where is like how is this set? Like what's going on? Why is this? He's dead.
Yeah.
He doesn't exist.
Yeah. But, and obviously, I mean, Paul Bettany, but also, of course, Elizabeth Olsen was, like, fantastic in, like, recreating all these things. And, of course, Catherine Hahn. Like, it was all just fun to just see them recreate it.
Even the kids were amazing.
Yeah. And then after, I think it was, like, the third episode is when it started to get more serious and they started integrating more of S.W.O.R.D. and, like, the outside world, and you started to see more of, like, you know, what actually is happening with the hex and everything.
Like, what happened with the snap? Like, that scene at the hospital?
Oh, was that episode 4 or something?
Yeah.
The way they opened that, I was like,
yeah,
I needed a warning before you
whiplash.
Open it. Why would you do that? Like, you opened it with, like, Carol, like, my baby Carol, and, like, all this stuff and this yelling and and then she's having a meltdown because her mom's dead, and, like, oh, my God. But it was so good. It was good. That was good TV.
Yeah. I'm surprised she wasn't nominated for, like, Best Supporting Actress.
Ugh. So annoying. In the different eras, too, it was also fun to see hear the different theme songs.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely...
And even the sets, like, the set design, like, the outfits, like, even when they would, like, the ratio for the TV, like, that would change. Like, I loved all of that. Those little nods.
Yeah, and it's, like, you know, in the end, like, you know, when you look at all 9 episodes, it's, like, yes, it's, like, a very serious show. Well, it's dealing with serious issues and, like, all this stuff, but, like, there were certain moments where it kind of felt, like, so whimsical and fun, and it definitely felt like a Disney show.
I loved the Halloween episode. It was
so cute.
Little nose crunch. Ugh. Everything was relating back to Lizzie. I promise I watched other things in the show, not just Lizzie.
But, hey, when Elizabeth Olsen scrunches her nose, I don't know how you guys can't see that, okay? It's very noticeable. But yeah, it was all just so fun to watch. Okay, moving on. Well, I have, we're gonna keep it light. I'm gonna skip over that one real quick.
I know where your, like, cursor is.
we're gonna skip over that one real quick. We'll go on to one more light thing, and then we'll move on to the next one.
And then
one.
We'll get back to, like, us having no heart.
Yeah. Okay. So, what was fun about this one, and Mandalorian did this too, it's what Disney Plus shows do, are the weekly releases, but this was the first Marvel Disney Plus series to come out at all. So, Kelsey, we were talking about this a little bit before, but what were your thoughts about the weekly release schedule that WandaVision had?
It built up so much, like, anticipation, excitement, like, it's hard because obviously we now live in, like, in a streaming society where, like, everybody wants to binge, everybody just wants, like, instantaneous, like, I don't want to say relief, but like instantaneous. Like they just
want
that. Yeah, like they just want to finish the season. They want to get it over. Not, I don't want to say get it over with, but they want to know what happens. Like they want to be done in a weekend.
Yeah.
Whereas like with this, you had to keep watching. Like there was anybody that did not finish this show is like, I who are you? I don't understand. Like you needed to watch all of the episodes, and Disney releasing them weekly versus all at once, I just think it was just such a smart move. And I think it really, really speaks to why it did so well. Like there was people on my timeline where I know they have never seen a Marvel movie in their life, and they were like, WandaVision is amazing. It's incredible. Like because of the hype around it, because everybody was going on about it each week, rather than the discourse only existing for a week or two when it's really popular on Netflix. I know I just used the example of Sex Education because season 3 just came out. Like there will be discourse about it for a week or two, and then people will move on to the next, you know, big show that comes out, and that cycle just keeps repeating itself. Like I can't think of anything that's, what else is similar? Like maybe you will be the same. Like discourse will be around that. I mean, don't get me wrong, like amazing show. The discourse around that will be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then
yeah,
we'll move on.
I will say,
it's just how that works.
I think the discourse around you will be a bit bigger than Sex Education because I feel like more people watch it.
I think so too.
Also, the discourse around you is going to be a lot more because there's going to be a lot more to discuss and a lot more wild shit happens than what happens on Sex Education.
You had early screeners, right? Like, you've seen it?
Yeah, I already finished it. Well, because I was going to say that, like, that was the first show I binge-watched in a while because I just finished the season 3 and I didn't like it. I don't like binge-watching shows. I hate it. Even though I loved the show and I love the season, I love the character. Victoria Pedretti hit me up. But, like,
That's you having access early. I think a lot of this is like people feeling like they need to not compete, but like they want to finish it before they get spoiled because everybody else talk about it online. Like, I don't want to say the word compete, but they just want to like get it over with in order to be part of the discourse so they don't, you know, deal with spoilers. I don't really give a fuck about spoilers. I don't know. That's just me. But, so binging is exhausting.
It's so bad. And, like, I know I had gotten screeners for the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I think it was, like, season 3 or, like, part 3, whatever they call it. I think that was, like, it was before the pandemic. And I was watching it with my sister. But it was, like, after it had been released, but I have like ADHD and like I can't binge. It just is not, I've never been able to binge, and since I was diagnosed with ADHD, I'm like, oh, maybe that's why. But I also just don't know if it's something that I like to do anyway, and people just, you know, some people just don't like to do it. It is exhausting. My sister was sitting next to me and she was just like, you're annoying, why don't you want to watch this, like, da-da-da. I'm like, we're on episode like, We watched like 6 episodes in a row. I'm like, I literally want to claw my eyes out. I like cannot do this anymore.
And like sometimes it's like really late at night and you're like, yeah, I really want to know what's going to happen, but I also would love to get 8 hours of sleep tonight. So.
It was mostly like just I like could not sit down and watch anymore. I was like, I physically cannot do this anymore. So maybe that was my ADHD, but also binging is just not for me. But like more specifically, when I was by myself watching these screeners more recently, I was like, I loved it. I loved it. I was like, I could not wait until the next time I could sit down and watch the show. But I could not watch more than 1.5 episodes at a time. It took me, like, a good 4 days to finish.
That's why I'm kind of glad, networks like HBO are really, like, sticking to the whole one episode a week.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's, I don't know, I think that's a model that a lot of a lot of networks / streaming services might continue. Like, I don't think Disney Plus will go back to, will go to, like, just binging entire seasons.
Nor should they. I don't think they should. I think Star Wars Visions come out tomorrow, and I really hope I think it's gonna be episode by episode, and I hope.
Yeah, and even with What If, like, I'm seeing constant discourse about What If because it's week by week. It's not, you know, like, I think when you release an entire season in one go, people get overwhelmed. Like, I just think about our jobs as writers. Like, we can only write, like, it's, I don't know, I don't want to say you get more content out of, like, doing it weekly, but, like, you get more content by doing it weekly. Like, you can actually properly pick out themes rather than, like, overall plots and things like that, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I completely agree, and I think you already said it, too, about how it keeps momentum going and keeps you guessing until the next week. So you've got 7 whole days to be like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Like, what? Da-da-da. Especially with this one, which we can talk about next, but, like, all the theories that were involved and all of the talking, and there was just, like, so much going on in each episode. There was a lot to nitpick. Not nitpick, that's the wrong word. But, like, there was a lot to just go through. And so it was beneficial. And, like, I know HBO with Generation RIP, I loved that show. But they
I love
did. It was so good. Bring it back. They're not going to bring it. I don't. It's not the type of network that's going to sell a show. But I love them. But they did, like, 2 episodes at a time, which also I really liked. Because I think they were, like, 30
minutes. They weren't very long. Yeah, they were, like, 20 minutes, 22 minutes.
Yeah. And, like, and I think it was, what is it? DC with the Harley Quinn animated series did weekly, and there was only 29 minute episodes or something like that. I was losing my mind having to wait week to week.
It's giving space, and I hate using the word discourse because I feel like there's a negative connotation towards the word discourse, but it gives a space to, like, have these conversations rather than having these conversations with a 10 episode season within a week of it being released, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. It's just nice to have space to just enjoy a show week by week rather than, like, needing to gorge it in a weekend.
Yeah. And maybe we're just old, and maybe this is our millennial brain just being like, whatever. But I absolutely love that feeling of, like, oh my god, I know today's the day. I have this fun thing that is this
Happily.
Fun thing waiting for me. And whether it's at a time or it's, I know it's, you know, it just premieres the day of. Like, it's just waiting for me. And, you know, like, whether it's while I'm eating lunch or dinner, like, I just, you know, I just can't
Exactly.
wait to devour it. And it's, like, all mine. You know, like, I love it.
Also, I feel like you can't properly theorize about a show if, like, the entire season is out. Like, you could just find out what happens in the next episode. Like,
no, I feel like you're just mindlessly then watching. You're just like, okay, cool.
Yeah, there's no, like, I don't want to use the word critical, but, like, you can't actually, like, critique it, because you could just be like, oh, well, maybe this will change next week, or the next episode, not next week.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good segue into, we can talk about theories next. Again, skipping over the tough one that I have here.
Are we going to end on the tough one?
No. We'll do the tough one next. But I think that was just, like, a good, what's the word? Segue into the, oh, I messed that up. Also, with these, I mentioned earlier, these weekly releases also gave people 7 whole days to theorize the fuck out of this show. And we're not talking, like, theories. We're talking, like, full frickin' dissertations on TikTok. 4-part series, 12-part series on TikTok, like, Twitter threads, like, whatever. Like, it was insane.
It was like having a second job, both reading and, like, I'm sure the people making these theories, it was, like, a second job. But for me, I was like, this is a lot. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know what the show is anymore. I don't know who is who.
No. And it's, like, I loved the time period. Looking back, I'm like, oh, I loved it. Like, that tweet I read earlier said. But it's also looking back, I'm like, they were not smart enough to write, to, like, use all these theories in it. I don't even think, like, some of these theories were just so complex. Like, you know, the big one was, like, Mephisto, which, like, I don't know if he'll ever show up. I do, like, you know, if you were to read the theories and stuff, like, you know, it made sense, I guess. You know, it's kind of like they backed their shit up. Like, they didn't just say Mephisto's gonna pop up, but it's like they had, like, pretty probable cause, I guess.
It was kind of like being, like, in the Taylor Swift fandom.
It was. But then it's like, then...
It's like... Alright, I had to.
When I saw the tinfoil hats is when Paul Bettany... Like,
this is when I'm cutting out. This is when you're losing me.
When Paul Bettany said his thing about how he's gonna work with someone fantastic that he's always wanted to work with, and... all this stuff, and he was hyping it up, and people were then, like, going off the rails, trying to figure out who that person was, and it then culminated in someone thinking that Al Pacino was going to play Mephisto because he played the devil or something in another movie, and Paul Bettany has never worked with him, but he said in another interview that he wanted to work with Al Pacino and whatever, and I was like, it's like that TikTok audio where it's like, is this who we are?
Honestly, like, it gets to the point where it's like, I hope this is true for your sake.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm leaving, like, I'm walking up the door, but, like, I hope this is true for you.
Yeah.
So you have something that, you know, amounted to all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love coming up with theories, and I love writing.
Oh, you love a good theory.
I love a fucking good theory, bro. Like, I love it, and I love writing about it. I love analyzing it. I love thinking about the comics and kind of like, oh, like this is what this is, da da da. But because I also love, like, you know, taking, you know, like how Scarlet Witch was actually a witch in the comics, and, you know, talking about, like, how, you know, how that wove into the runes at the end and all that stuff. But at a certain point, it's kind of just like, how do you guys think you sound? You know? But no hate, you know? They're not hurting anybody. But they might be hurting themselves in the end.
Yeah.
By getting their hopes up.
Like, you know that It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme with the wall, conspiracy theory wall, with a smoke hanging out of his mouth? Like, that's the territory we are verging on.
Yeah. And it's like, I think that everyone learned their lesson, because I, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, there really was not an opportunity to do that. And I feel like some people try to do that with Loki.
Paul ended up saying the person he's most excited to work with is himself.
It was himself, and I wanted to, you know, punch him in the face. It was a good
Honestly,
one. It was good.
What a good troll. What a good troll, because, like...
It was good.
He was right.
It was good, and honestly, I don't think he thought it through.
Yeah.
I think he was like, guys, I think it was like, it was a dad joke gone wrong, I think.
Yeah, because I don't think I think he knows how serious Marvel fans are, but I don't think he knows how serious.
Yeah, it was kind of just like, oh, I get it, but, like, they won't take this one far, right? And then he said it, and then it went far. But then again...
And then suddenly Al Pacino is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh my god. You know what? Honestly, I think someone's gonna bring Al Pacino in to play Mephisto just because that was such a good theory. Yeah. But... because then there was, like, what's it called? Like a stained glass window in Loki that had devil in it. And then someone's like, oh, here comes Mephisto again. And all this stuff. So, who knows?
Sometimes things are just things. Sometimes,
yeah. And sometimes they like to fuck with us, you know, just to fuck with us.
Yeah,
and
it's insane the lengths that people go to. Like, I love it, don't get me wrong, but it's also like, I would love to have that time on my hands.
Yep.
Please give me some.
Yep. Speaking of, I also really loved all the theories about, like, Evan Peters and his Quicksilver character. Those are the ones I succumbed the most to, because those were the least tinfoil hat, because it's like, he's there, you know? He was the Fox X-Men Quicksilver.
I loved that they did that. I loved that they brought him into it. I think it was so fun, like, so smart. Like,
same.
Would you consider that fan service?
No. I don't think so. Because I don't think anyone was calling for it.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know, there is talk, like, you know, it's like, you know, merge them, you know, especially after the acquisition of 21st Century Fox and all this stuff, but it's like, they're already doing Deadpool, which I also don't think would be fan service, because, I mean, kind of is, but then again, the Deadpool movie itself is fan service, because that was brought to you by the fans. So I don't know. It's like, again, we talked about this last time, but like, what is fan service? Like, fans are fans because they're fans, you know?
Give it.
That was really philosophical. Fans are fans because they're fans, right? So they like things, right? And Disney and Marvel need to make money, so they're going to pander to fans.
Well, yeah, like, and we talked about this with Luke appearing in Mandalorian. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Just keep giving it to me, please. Cause
yeah, feed me more.
I just think it's, like, having somebody like Evan Peters, who's, like, not technically reprising his role or anything, but, like, I just think that's fun.
It's so fun, and he is such a fun actor to watch, and
I have not seen him in enough things.
Yeah. He's not in...
I don't know why.
I feel like, well, because I think he's, like, not in a ton of things all the time. I think...
He's literally just in American Horror Story, which I won't watch, because I'm scared of everything.
When he was in American Horror Story, I feel like he was really only just doing that. He was maybe doing, like, a couple of smaller things on the side. I think he took a step back from that and did a couple of other smaller things.
Or, like, a bit, like, indie movies and things like that.
Yeah, and, like, through the years, he's done other, like, smaller movies. I think it was playing Quicksilver was the first big blockbuster thing he's done. I'm trying to think. Yeah. And, well, the thing is, also, I think he's the most liked character from those two X-Men movies. Because he had, like, his, like, moment, you know? So, maybe it is fan service, because they took, like, the most liked X-Men character to bring over.
Yeah.
And I think, going back to the theories, the one theory I'm still holding on to is that I do think that it's actually the X-Men Quicksilver.
I hope so.
Yeah, and I think they're just fucking with us.
I think so, too.
I don't think there's any
way. Why else?
Yeah. Why else? But then also, Boner? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Disney
is so annoying. Marvel is so annoying.
And also, magic doesn't make you that fast. There's, like, no way. I don't know. That's definitely his powers. I don't know. There's something going on. There's something fishy. Yeah. I don't know. That's the one I'm still holding on to, because I refuse to also believe that they brought him in just for that. For a
Boner
joke. Just,
like, a waste. Like, let's keep him in. Let's have fun.
Yeah. There's also a rumor from this, like, quote-unquote credible rumor guy. I forgot his Twitter name. He's popular on Twitter. That Wanda has a huge fight in Doctor Strange 2 with a Fox X-Men character.
Oh.
Yeah. So people were guessing about who it could be. It's definitely Dark Phoenix, or Phoenix, or Jean Grey, one of them. Like, it's Jean Grey, but I don't know what iteration of her it's going to be. And I don't know which one. Like, I don't know if it's going to be the Sophie Turner one, or if it's going to be the original one, which would be a big throwback.
Sophie Turner, damn.
Yeah, if it's the Sophie Turner one, that would be a very interesting choice, because that movie was not well-liked.
Yeah.
I just think that the only X-Men that would be capable, or in the comics, Rogue would be the only other one, but the X-Men Rogue is a fucking wimp. So that would not make sense to bring X-Men Fox Rogue over. So, yeah. There's also, Victoria Pedretti also wants to be in Marvel, and the rumor is that she is going to be in X-Men, and possibility is that she's going to play Rogue, so.
You're going to lose your mind.
I'm going to lose my mind. I think she'd be a great Rogue or Kitty Pryde, but maybe more Kitty Pryde. Someone who, because, like, this is me going off the road here, but if they were to bring Rogue into Marvel again, like, to recast in the MCU, they have to make her a non-wimp. And they have to make her, like, yeah, like, a fucking badass. And, like, she's, like, one of the most powerful people ever. Like, she can defeat Captain Marvel and shit. So it's, like, Not saying that Tara Padretti can't do that, but it's like, she has to be ready to do that. Anyway. That was my tangent. I love Rose.
I'm dying at the next topic. It's the topic that keeps getting moved down. Let's talk about Agatha.
Okay. We are skipping.
Okay. Are we avoiding something in particular?
Maybe. Okay. So Agatha, Catherine Hahn, gets her own bullet point because she's fabulous. So when she was cast, like, I've loved Catherine Hahn for, like, years, and I'm sure you have too. Like, she's just, like, fabulous. And, well, Agnes, I guess, is her name when we first meet her. And what, well, you gave me some interesting first thoughts off record. So I don't know if you want to reiterate that real quick.
Oh, about the... how I was stupid and didn't put two and two together of who really was. Like, until, like, it happened, I was like, wait a second. Like, sometimes I think about myself, and I think about my train of thought, and, like, I'm just like, how did you not put Agnes and Agatha together as, like, you know, names? Like, are you stupid? Me and myself.
Well, you also didn't know who Agatha Harkness was.
In retrospect, I should have just Googled. Like, I should have just figured out, like, who trains Wanda. Like, who, you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
I'm mad at myself.
From the, like, you know, from the get-go, I was like, you know, I knew the two. But I was like, everyone was just like, oh, but, like, she's gonna be the villain. And I'm just like, well, you know, like, in the comics, Agatha is her mentor. And so I'm like, I don't want her to be the villain, because it's like, that's sad. Like, Wanda needs someone on her team. Our baby's hurting.
Nobody.
Nobody is there for her. And she's been through a lot, and she doesn't need someone on her back, who in the comics is her mentor. She needs a mentor. So,
yes. The villain.
Yeah. So it's like, but, so I was a bit annoyed. I was just like, you know, I don't want them to ruin her character. But then again, I was like, well, but it's Catherine Hahn, so it's like...
I feel like she's going to be, like, something of an anti-hero, I think.
I think so, too, because I feel like it's, like, they showed her as, like, someone who was vilified. I don't know if that's the right word I want to use. This someone who was just, like, made a villain.
Yeah, like...
Her coven in New Salem or whatever it was.
And now it's just kind of, like, re-traumatizing. Like, she's just trying to do the same.
Right, so it's, like, she's always... Like,
which
so
is an excuse, but, like...
It's kind of, like, what's it called? The story of Frankenstein, you know? He wasn't born a monster, but the townspeople made him a monster.
Not us trying to justify somebody literally, like, terrorizing a neighbor, like, killing her dog, or, like... But she's a good person deep down.
Guys, wait till the end of this podcast. Anyway. anyway. But anyway. I mean, like, if you want to talk ethics. I do think she'll be an anti-hero. Like, we've definitely not seen the last of her. Which I'm glad.
She's a character at Avengers Campus now, I think. So I feel like she's around.
She's a hit. Like, people love her, and Catherine Hahn's fantastic. I heard her on a podcast called Witchcraft Podcast called, like, Your Magic by Spotify. And it was so good. And she talked about, like, how she does tarot and all this stuff. And she got a tarot reading from the podcast host, and she talked about, just all the stuff. I also recently watched another show she was in called The Romanoffs on Amazon Prime.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she's only in one episode because it's, like, an anthology.
Yeah.
Some of the episodes are fucking weird. And I think they're supposed to be. The Christina Hendricks one fucked me up. There's Christina Hendricks one. Fucked me up. It's so fucking weird.
In what way? Like, you're like...
The ending was like, what the fuck?
Does it make you uncomfortable? Those are the shows that I'm like, that stay with me for a long time. Like, there's an episode of Black Mirror where I'm, like, still thinking about it. Like, it honestly traumatized me. And I watched it on Christmas Eve, and I never... It was the White Bear episode of Black Mirror. I don't know if you ever watched
it. I don't
Black
watch...
Mirror.
I haven't... I think I watched one Black Mirror.
That was the one and only episode that I've ever seen of that show. And honestly, we'll never not think about that on every
God.
Christmas Eve.
I... No, so... I mean, like... Off topic. The Romanovs, I was obsessed with the Romanov dynasty back when I was in third grade, which is a weird thing to be obsessed with, but, like, whatever. So, like, I've known everything about, like, Anastasia and all that stuff since I was, like, in third, fourth grade. So, when I saw this on Amazon, I think it came out in, like, 2015, 2016, like, I jumped on it. So, basically, it's, like, I don't know, 8 episodes. Each episode is about a different family or person, and... The through line of all of them is, like, each person thinks that they're related to the Romanovs.
Okay.
Which they never explain how, because the family fucking gets killed. And they never talk about it. Like, they never say, like, they survive. In every instance, they're like, no, they still die. Yeah. Because, you know, there was that rumor that, like, Anastasia and Alexei, like, survived and all this stuff, but, like, they never talk about that, which is whatever. But anyway, but it's, like, it's basically, like, an alternate universe where, like, a ton of people think that they are related to the Romanovs. It's weird. Like, there's one episode where there's a cruise full of people who are related to the Romanovs. Weird. It's fucking weird.
Oh.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. Maybe it's, like, not them directly.
It sounds niche. I feel like I say the word niche a lot on this podcast, but, like...
Maybe, but the Christina Hendricks episode, like, she's great in it, and I think that, honestly, it's probably my favorite out of them. Catherine Hans also is one of my favorites. I think those two are my favorites, but Christina Hendricks plays an actress who goes to Prague or something to film a show about the Romanovs dying, right?
You know what? I'm obsessed with, like, fuck, what is the word for this? The
meta?
Yeah, the meta, like yeah. How deep that's going.
But
she's,
it's like
an actress playing an actress on a show. She's an actress on a show, and she's playing an actress that's going to film. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's trippy, but then she finds out that, like, she came onto the project late because the original actress quit, and she finds out why, and, like, all this stuff. And then, like, the director claims that she's related to the... Like, she's the director's the one in this episode that is the one that's claiming that she's related, but then it turns out, like, all this stuff, and then it's, like, her hotel's haunted, and then you're, like, is it really haunted, or is she psychotic? And then it's, like, is the director psychotic, or is it haunted? And then the fucking ending is wild. I suggest you watch it. It's really good. But it's fucking weird.
Okay.
But and then Catherine Hahn's episode is, like, she and her husband can't naturally have babies, and so they fuck, for some reason, go all the way to Russia to adopt a child, and it's because she is related to the Romanovs, and so she wants to get a baby from Russia to, like, connect to her heritage. Clea DuVall is also in that episode, which is really interesting, because she plays a lesbian mother, but she's single, which is really interesting, because she's adopted from Russia, who they're very homophobic, but it, like, goes into, like, the fucked up adoption industry, and, like, they try and scam her with this baby, and, like, all this stuff, and the ending of it is very bleak. And that's
the thing,
too.
So many layers.
Every single episode ends bleakly, and I'm like, are you trying to give a message that, like, the Romanovs' life was bleak, and so everyone's cursed now to live a bleak life? And so I refuse to watch the finale because I'm scared of what it's going to be. I've not watched it yet. But the guy who played Henry in Mamma Mia 2 is in it. So, or Harry. Harry is his name. I don't know. But Wow, that was a long tangent. It's good. I watched it pretty fast. We just talked about binge watching, but like I watched it pretty fast. I did not binge watch it, but I did watch it. I flew through that.
I also think anthologies are a bit different because it's to me, it's like you don't. Maybe this is wrong to say, but I think of that with, like, the show Modern Love. Like, you can just dip in and out of, like, there's no connection between the stories. Just the fact that they're, like, all about love. That's literally the only connection.
Any last thoughts on Agatha? I feel like I really went on a tangent.
That's fine. She's a queen. Yeah, I mean, she's just great. She, introducing, ladies and gentlemen, her. That's literally
yes, she is fabulous. Agatha all along, a bop. Who knew? Who would have thunk?
I didn't.
Honestly, even if you knew the twist, or you didn't know the twist, when they dropped that bomb, and then they dropped the fucking needle, and the song played, and then it's like, the montage, and it's like, who's
been honestly, that was so good, and I told Mark you too, like, honestly, I don't know how many more times I can say the word honestly, but like, just so good, like,
it's fantastic.
Again, I just want to say, honestly, there was just something about that whole montage where you just felt like this is a good show. Like,
it's
this is
so
a good fucking
freaking
show.
Good. Because it's like, it's like kind of quirky and kind of funny. Like, it's definitely very like.
And it feels like behind the scenes in a way.
Yeah.
Like,
when she was like directing. Yeah.
Yeah. Meta
fantastic.
Again.
Fantastic.
Maybe that's her whole thing. She just. Oh no, that was Christina Hendricks, but. Yeah.
This is Alani popping back in at the end while I'm editing this episode. Kelsey and I talked for a long time about WandaVision, if you couldn't tell, and this episode is going to be split into two, but don't worry because part two is coming a lot sooner than this episode came. And looking forward to part two of our WandaVision discussion. We're going to talk into the trauma response aspect, Darcy, the love persevering line, our favorite episodes from it, Wanda's crimes against humanity, as some viewers like to say, not us though, and a lot more. So expect that coming very soon. And you can follow us on all social media platforms in the meantime. And that'll be all linked in the show notes. This has been Alani signing off, and Kelsey signs off in spirit. Thanks. Bye.